This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. To visit our websites, they are cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. How do we survive in a world fraught with many dangers and punishments of God in society? What are we going to do? Now, we've already covered some of the physical things you need to do to be prepared. So let's talk about some of the spiritual things we need to do to be prepared. Let's come start, first of all, Matthew 10 and verse 16. Matthew 10 and verse 16. Now, while this is directed to disciples who have been sent out on a training missionary or evangelical campaign, nevertheless, there are certain things that we need to understand. And what we're going to realize is we need to be spiritually prepared between now and the time that these things take place. Matthew 10 and verse 16, "Behold, I'm sending you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." Well, we're not sent forth in the midst of it. We live in the midst of it, see. "Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." This means we have got to have the wisdom. That's why it's important. Study the Proverbs. Study the Psalms. But we have got to be wise. Harmless as doves means that we don't take up any political recourse. Now, that's what that means. Because, as I have said before, you can't solve spiritual problems by political means. I mean, look at it. I saw the other night a whole hour interview by Glenn Beck, and he interviewed Mike Huckabee, a Republican candidate for president, who used to be a Baptist minister. So he's about as close as you can get to combining a certain amount of spiritual knowledge with trying to be president. And it's like everything else. Now, when I go on the program, the radio program, which I mentioned to you in my latest letter, and I happened to think of this when I was watching the interview, because here's a former Baptist minister, and here's a man who says he's Catholic, Glenn Beck. However, he's like most American Catholics. They are not in the traditional, goose step of normal Catholicism that is, say, like in Latin America and certain countries in Europe. And I thought, how much truth could they handle? How much error do they embrace, thinking that they are sincere, well-intended, and doing good? Because remember this, man's way comes from which tree? The knowledge of good and evil. And in America, they have had more knowledge of God. So what has been happening is more people have been, instead of growing in the knowledge of God, they have been subjecting the good of God to the good of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil called moral values. And so what happens? You end up compromising with people who have ostensibly good moral values, but they can't solve the spiritual problems. And I got to thinking, okay, what if Huckabee won? Now, what is he going to do? What can he do to solve the spiritual problems? Can he stop abortion? Can he get rid of the wrong education? Can he stop deficit spending? He can't do any of those, you see. So really, it doesn't matter how many moral values you may have. Now, it is good to have moral values, but even Catholics identify with the same moral values, but they're totally blinded in what they believe because of the doctrines that the Catholic Church teaches. And yes, the Protestants are still blinded by the same thing because they keep the same holidays and Sunday and everything. Past presidents have been closer to God than ones we have now. Franklin Delano Roosevelt prayed to Almighty God over the radio, and I'm sure God heard that prayer. Abraham Lincoln called for a nationwide fast, which may have been a tipping point in the war. However, what needs to be done here in America, I'll reiterate again. There has to be, the only way that the hand of God can be held back is this way. The new president, you know, Hillary Billery is not going to do this. See? Maybe Mike Huckabee would. You know Giuliani won't. And if Romney tried it, he would be suspected of trying to spread Mormon doctrine. But the only way that there would be a relief of the heavy hand of God would be if we had someone like King Josiah, 2 Chronicles 34 and 35, where he called the whole nation to repentance, and he had the power as king to enforce it. The president doesn't. But he made all the leaders make a special covenant to God, repentance and reform. And the repentance would be to God, and the reform would be to conform to the laws of God. So you see how difficult this would be. So, to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves means that we have got to watch our P's and Q's, and we have got to stay spiritually ready. Now then, the time is going to come, as it did then, said, beware of men. So beware of those who sound like they're going to solve all the problems. They're not going to do it, see. Now, in this case, it's a little different. For they shall deliver you up to councils, which, by the way, is not by invitation through Steuben Crystal. Need to understand that. See. And the councils are going to question you as to why you're against this nation, why you are against the system, why you are against world government. See, because the last thing that men have not tried to do, which God is going to let them do. They've had every form of government and religion except worldwide government and worldwide religion. See, and that's what's coming in the world. Now, the reason that God is going to not allow it, but cause it, see, so what we're up against also, too, because God is going to cause it because of the sins of all the nations of the world, not just the sins of Israel, is much like the invasion of Nebuchadnezzar coming against the Jews. God said it was going to happen. And it did happen. And it wasn't turned back. And God said to the Jews at that time, if you want to live, go surrender. You go to Babylon. If you fight, you're going to die. So we're looking at a situation where that mankind has not had a world government. And mankind has never developed to the point that man is now, where he is so deceived by Satan the devil, because it says that Satan is deceiving the whole world, that men are going to think they have powers of God because all of the things that they have are going to be so awesome compared to things in the past. And as I mentioned, we covered in the sermons why men will fight God. So what's going to happen to us will be this. Don't know how it's going to be done, but I know it'll happen to ministers before it will happen to brethren, but it will happen to brethren too. Okay? They'll deliver you up to councils. They will scourge you in their synagogues. Now, the one who had Steuben Crystal, I don't believe, was ever scourged in a synagogue. See? You shall be brought before governors and kings, which means you're going to be brought as a prisoner for my name's sake, for a witness to them and to the Gentiles. So that day is coming. Your neighbors are going to one day maybe say, well, why is all this happening? Now, just before services, we were talking about the superbug. Why the superbug? And children in school dying. Well, I'll tell you maybe one reason. Number one is because of abortion. Number two, because of immigration. And number three, because we rejected God. And if we reject God, you read Hosea 4, it says, if you reject me, I will reject your children. Now, I saw a special report on television about brown Mexican heroin that is brought in by truckloads. And they're giving it to kids in school, and they are dying with the first snort. So we've got the superbug in our schools because they are not clean. What's being taught in schools? Well, now, isn't that interesting that this came at the same time that they want to introduce the birth control pill to 11 years old? See, God is going to start punishing hard and heavy for all of these evil and satanic things that the workers of Satan are bringing about, which those who propose such things are workers of Satan. And so they're going to have to know. There's going to have to be a witness. This is why we all need to know the Word of God. Because verse 19 is a key and important thing. Now, when they deliver you up, do not be anxious about how or what you should speak, for in that hour it shall be given to you what you shall speak. Why? Because you know the Word of God, you have the Spirit of God, which verse 20 says, for it's not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father that speaks in you. Now, that's going to be not only to the ministers, and I wonder how many ministers out there in the Church of God are even equipped well enough to handle that, especially some of the reports that we got from some of the feasts from other churches. One of them, they had an hour plus of special music every day, and they weren't taught anything about the feast. Well, question. Why have the Feast of Tabernacles if you don't teach about it? See? And remember, too, God says we're here to warn the people. We're to warn ourselves. Now, let's understand something, lest someone get all upset and say, well, we're good folk. Why would God do this to us? Well, let's come back here to Ezekiel 33. Now, what is good?
There is none good.
There is none good, but what is true good? True good comes from God. So ask yourself the question, do you believe God? Do you believe His Word? Do you believe what God says? Let's try the shoe on some of the Sunday keepers. You all know which day is the seventh day, don't you? Because you go to church on Sunday, right? First day of the week. You all know. But you've been so ingrained with so many lies for so long that you think you're right. When you're absolutely adamantly opposed to God, because nowhere, and even the Catholics brag on this, we've got all you Protestants snookered because we changed the day with our authority. There is no place from Genesis to Revelation which gives authorization or sanctity from God to keep Sunday. Now, try that on for size. And if you don't like that, then you are evil and wicked in God's sight because you are rejecting His commandments and His laws. However, here's God's advice. Now, verse 7, Ezekiel 33. Here's what God tells us. This applies to everyone. Verse 7. So you, son of man, I have set you a watchman. Now, I'm not claiming to be a watchman sitting on the wall or the watchman of Ezekiel. But this applies to every minister, every elder, and every person who has the Spirit of God in one degree or another. Unto the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Now, we have greater than what Ezekiel had. We have the whole word of God, Old and New Testament. When I say to the wicked, now who's wicked? A lot of people who are wicked don't think they're wicked. They think they are good. All of those terribly deceived, misguided, malicious people on the school board in New Hampshire where they are proposing to bring birth control pills without consent or knowledge of their parents think they're doing good. They don't think they're wicked. So you have to have a Bible definition of a wicked. Wicked is someone who transgresses the laws of God as a way of life and who give themselves over in degree to Satan the devil. So this means we're living in a very dangerous world. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, and that's to anyone, because you'll notice that in the King James, it is not in italics. That means anyone who is wicked. Are men wicked? Yes. Are women wicked? Yes. Isn't it interesting? Men are more violent. They will bludgeon. They will kill. They will stab. How do women kill? Poison. But they're still wicked. And it's malicious, and they plan it, right? Yes. See? If you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked one shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I'll require at your hands. Now, why would God do that? Because he's given his word. And let's understand a very profound thing we need to realize. Now, let me talk especially to those who really have not studied their Bibles. Question, do you have a Bible in your house? Answer, yes. Question, have you read it recently? Probably not. And do you read it regularly? Well, I can guarantee 99.9% that most do not. Now, look at it this way. What if you had a bomb in your house? Would you not search out where it was and get rid of it? Okay, well, the Word of God will be to you worse than a bomb. Because it's a message from God to you, from Him, personally, that He's put in your house. And isn't it interesting that in the United States of America, there are four Bibles for every household. And yet, look at all the sin that we have. Why? Because of false religion of Sunday keeping and the holidays of this world. And number two, because they don't teach people to keep the Word of God. And that lies right at the doorstep of every lawless preacher, Catholic, Protestant, and Orthodox. And we can throw in the Jews at the same time, because they reject Jesus in their way, and all the rest of them reject Jesus in their way while professing his name, and become more hypocritical in some ways than the Jews. Question, why don't they give warning? Because they don't believe the Word of God, which means they don't believe the Old Testament, and they don't read it, and they don't know it, and they don't understand it. There are warnings in the New Testament and the Old Testament. But you see, without knowing who we are from God's point of view as people, we fail to realize that the Word of God is God's Word to us, as well as to anyone in the world. Now let's go on. You see, because if you have a Bible in your house and you don't read it and you don't study it, let me tell you one thing. God's judgment is coming upon you because you didn't read it, because he sent it to you, because you don't know it, and he expects you to. Now you may say, ooh, those are strong words. Well, wait until the day comes, because the day is coming, the day is coming, the day is coming. So that's why he says, if you don't warn the wicked, I'm going to require it at your hands. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked of his ways, to turn from it, and to turn from it means to repent. And you see, as long as there's life, there's hope, and as long as you can repent, and repentance means to turn from your way totally, in repentance and weeping and sorrow and anguish for your hideous sins against God. And God says if he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. So we find two great responsibilities, don't we? All those who receive the Word of God and never read it and go on their wicked way. Isn't it interesting? Probably in every motel where illicit sex goes on, there's a Gideon Bible sitting right in the drawer as a witness against them, right? And it's right there, wherever, all right? So it's for everyone, but also for every minister. You profess to be a minister of God? You better heed what God says. And don't put it off and say, well, someone else will do this. He has to be Ezekiel's watchman on the wall. Well, if you are speaking and teaching people, if you're a pastor or minister over a church, think of this. If you have the Bible, which is the truth of God, and you stand up there on Sunday morning in the pulpit and you read the Word of God, the part you like, and don't tell them the rest of it, you're a liar. See? It's exactly what it is. I also saw on Glenn Beck, he seems to be interviewing religious people quite often here, but he also interviewed Joel Osteen, the smiling preacher from Houston. Perfect example of taking the Word of God, refusing to give warning, tell everyone how good they are, and how they can succeed, and change the gospel into a lie. Now think what the judgment is going to be, because every week I've seen him, I've heard his messages, and He doesn't give any warning. He doesn't call to repentance. He wants to work with the goodness of human nature. But the goodness of human nature can never fulfill the righteousness of God without repentance and baptism because of the law of sin and death inherent in human nature. Now let's look at the message that Joel Osteen and all ministers who speak like him are giving. And then we will look at the message that is given by some, even Pastor Hagee. He gives some warnings, but he believes in a rapture so that everybody who belongs to church is going to be raptured away. And he also keeps Sunday. And he also says, I believe in the Trinity, though the word is not in the Bible, I believe it. He's preaching lies. Now, let's come to Isaiah 30. We'll come back to Ezekiel 33 in just a minute here. Okay? Isaiah 30, let's pick it up in verse 8. Now, here's another warning, you see. This is why you need to read and study the Old Testament. See, because if you don't read and study the Old Testament, you will never know how many things are there that talk about the end time and us. Beginning back, clear back in the book of Genesis. Yes. Okay, Isaiah 30, verse 8. Now, here's what God told Isaiah. Go now, write it before them in a tablet and note it in a book. Do we have it? Do you have a book before you? It's called the Bible. And biblios means book. Is it there? Did God carry out his word through all these centuries? Yes, indeed, about 2,800 years ago, huh? All right. That it may be for the time to come forever and ever, and the margin says the latter days. And we're living in the latter days, right? Yes, indeed. How long will the latter days be? God doesn't tell us. That's for God's determination. But notice, for all you good religious people out there, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Why? Because all their ministers say Jesus abolished the law. Which he didn't. Because Jesus was the Lord God of the Old Testament before he became God manifested in the flesh in the New Testament, and he is lawgiver. So if you say Jesus abolished the law and the prophets, and that everything in the Old Testament is fulfilled, what you're really doing is accusing God of being lawless and abandoning his lawgiving, which would mean this. The universe would collapse because it's upheld by his word and his law. And there would be no such thing as sin. So how can you, out of one side of your mouth in the pulpit, stand up and say, Jesus did away with the law. Repent. Well, if he did away with the law, what's there to repent of? Because you have to repent of the transgression of the law, which is sin. So you're speaking out of both sides of your mouth, one forward, one aft. Now notice, will not hear, which say to the seers, and there have been ministers who have tried to preach about the Sabbath to a Sunday-keeping church, and the board of deacons got a hold of him and said, now, if you want your salary to continue, you better back down. Now, we'll let you condemn Halloween, parts of it. Don't you say anything against Christmas. Don't you say anything against Easter. See, because we're the board of deacons and we control your salary. See? And the people, how many people would hear it? They wouldn't. Would say to the seers, see not, to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. No. Speak to us smooth things. Pay attention, Joel. Prophesy deceits. You tell God by doing that, get you out of the way. And they tell the preachers, don't you dare stand in the way of the Lord when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, you see. Which they quote, but they don't know which is the true way of God because they reject 80% of the Bible if you believe in dispensationalism. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Well, now God is not going to cease to exist for the sake of sinful people that want to continue living in their sins. Now, here's what God says. Wherefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel. Now, if you want to know what's happening to the nation, listen up. This is what's happening. Because you despise this word and trust in oppression or fraud. Woo-hoo! That covers an awful lot, doesn't it? How many have heard of the SPP, North American Union, AMERO? How many have heard of the handshake agreement to not seal the borders? Sounds like Congress, doesn't it? Sounds like all of our state houses, doesn't it? See, because most of the higher-up politicians serve another Lord. That's not God. And they serve another group. And that's not the people. And their allegiance is to their secret leaders and not to the Constitution, nor to the Bible, nor to the Word of God. You trust in fraud and perverseness and stay thereon. You make that your foundation. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall. Now, that's exactly where the United States is today. Everyone is saying something's drastically wrong in America. I'll tell you what's drastically wrong in America. Gross, overt sin from the top to the bottom. Isaiah says in chapter 1 that you are stricken from the sole of the foot to the top of the head, and there is no soundness in you, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that haven't been smoothed over or covered over, and they won't heal because there's no repentance, you see. It's just like this wall, whose breaking comes suddenly, in an instant. You don't expect it. Does that sound like a terrorist attack? Yes, indeed. Did not God say in Leviticus 26 that he'll point over his terror? Yes, indeed. And he shall break it as a breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces, and he shall not spare. So you need to understand. You better get serious with God, because God's going to get serious with you. And if you don't repent, because there isn't going to be any national repentance, you can guarantee that. But there can be individual repentance, and you can repent, and you can change. But you better listen up to God. And you better put away your religious practices, because religious practices are substitutes for the way of the Lord. So you better find out what the way of the Lord is. And he shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a shard to take fire from the hearth. You aren't even going to have a little scoop. Nor to take water withal out of the pit. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. You got to return to God and repent. and in quietness and confidence shall be your strength, but you would not. Isn't that interesting? Because, see, God gives us choice, and repentance is a choice, right? And repentance starts with what? The very first thing. You got to be honest with yourself and understand your sins and repent of those, right? You can't come along and say, well, I'm good here, I'm good there, so God overlooks sin. You would not. But you say, no. Question. What is your answer to God? Is it yes or is it no? Therefore, we'll flee upon horses. Therefore, we shall flee. We will ride upon the swift. Therefore, shall they be pursued. They that pursue you shall be swift. What God is saying is very clear. Once he sets his hand to correct, there isn't any way you're going to escape unless you turn to him. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. That sounds awful lot like terrorist cell, doesn't it? All you people living in New York, remember when there was a rumor that they were going to let gas in the subway? What happened? Could have been just one person. What happened? Thousands were delayed and searched and everything. All you avoided it. But like all the experts are saying, you aren't going to avoid it very long. See? At the rebuke of 5 shall you flee, till you be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain and an ensign on a hill. Now you think about this. You're going to be just like the, see, because God promised he wouldn't bring a flood as he did in the days of Noah. So I want you to think about in the days of Noah when it rained and it rained and it rained and it rained. And what are you going to do? Well, what did the people do? They went to the high ground, and there got to be more and more people to the high ground, and I'm sure they were killing each other to get to the high ground, and the animals were getting to the high ground, and it was raining, and it was raining, and it was raining, and it was raining, and they got up there, and lo and behold, water came and killed them all. That's what God said, because they were so corrupt. And what did Jesus say of the days today? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So here's a perfect example. Your way of escape, unless you turn to God, is going to fail. It doesn't matter if you go to the highest mountain that there is. You ain't going to get away. Because wherever you go, God knows you're there. Now let's come back to Ezekiel 33. Let's see. Now some people are going to say, "Ooh, those are strong words." Well, believe me, if you think those are strong words, wait till the situations really come. Okay. And there are going to be a lot of people at that time are going to say, oh, we wish we would have heard. But you didn't pay attention, see? There's an interesting word in the Bible. It's called hearken. Now, hearken is interesting. Many of the new translations translate it as listen, but we didn't. We left it as hearken from this point of view. Today, you can be listening to many different things as you go about your daily work or drive your car, everything. So you can listen to it, but you're not paying that much attention to it, right? Hearken means to hear, to listen, and to act upon. So the question is, will you hearken to God? All right. Let's come back here to Ezekiel 33. Verse 10. Therefore, O son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, thus you speak. This is how you're going to speak. Not what you think, but what I tell you. Saying, you tell the people, If our sins and our, if our transgressions and sins be upon us and we pine away in them, how shall we then live? Because no one wants to die. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Now remember that. God has no pleasure in that. But here is why these things are coming. And will you pay attention and turn like God says? That the wicked turn from his way and live. That's the bottom line of everything in the Bible. Now, what is the way of man? Well, here's a proverb for you. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25. And Proverbs 16:2 and 3 says, every way of a man is just in his own eyes, even to the worst and most heinous crime that people can commit. They are justified in their own minds that what they did was right. See. And sometimes nations become obsessed and possessed. Now, this happened with Germany in World War II. This happened with the communists in Russia. This happened in China with Mao Zedong. This happened in Laos with the Pol Pot. They become possessed because Satan and his demons are so entrenched into those societies that death and evil and murder and killing just absorbs the whole population. In America, we are becoming obsessed and possessed of sex. Everywhere. From the highest offices in governments, state and federal, to the lowest person in society, in our schools, in our homes, internet, television, everything. They are obsessed with sex. Now, if that's the case in your life, you better start turning to God. Because you're going to pay the price for whatever your major sin is. So here's God's plea. But that the wicked turn from his way and live. Now, in spite of everything that's going on, in spite of all the difficulties that are happening, guess what God is offering? If you repent and are baptized and receive the Spirit of God and walk in his way instead of your way, he's offering you eternal life, but only on his terms. Not on yours. Because the greatest sin that men have is that they want to tell God what to do. So he says, turn you from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Now just put your name there. Why do you want to continue living in sin that you're going to die, huh? Now he continues on, therefore, son of man, say to the children of your people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. All of those of you who already know the word of God, understand this. You don't trust in what you have done up to this point. You trust continually in God, not your own works. You see, if you have been righteous and haven't been living in sin, that's only because of God, because you have nothing that you didn't receive. It's very simple. It's not going to deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turns from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sins. And when I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust in his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all of his righteousness shall not be remembered, for his iniquity that he has committed, he shall die. Again say unto the wicked, you shall surely die, but if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge again that he is robbed and walk in the statutes of life, those are the laws and commandments of God, without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his sins that he has committed shall be mentioned to him, and that he has done that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. Now that's God's choice that he sets before us today. Let's go to the next tract.